This is an interview with Ruth Petrie and Lily Fluker. It's taking place at their home in Sutter Street in Alexandria. The project is the City of Sydney's oral history project on horses in the inner city. The date is the 24th of October 2007, and it's Margot Beasley interviewing. So, Ruth and Lily, you're sisters, but one of you is older than the other. I wonder if you mind saying, just identifying yourself and then saying how old you are or what year you were born.
Oh, you can tell me age, I don't care.
So how old are you, Lily?
90.
So you're 90, so that means you were born what in...
1917, 24th of September.
So you've just turned 90. And Ruth, you're...
I'm 86. I'll be 87 in March, and I was born in 1921.
And I think you both grew up in Alexandria, didn't you? Is that correct?
I was 8 months old.
I was four when I came here.
Oh, you came from somewhere else.
Yeah, Redfern. I was born in 5 Wilson Street, Redfern.
But you came as little girls, or in your case, Ruth, as a baby, you came. You were in a street somewhere not far from here, weren't you?
I lived in Dib Street, just across the road.
Dib Street back.
And your family lived there for a very long time, didn't you?
Yes, till I came over here about 5 years ago.
You were still in the house?
I was still in the home nearly about 20 years after my mother passed away.
So had you lived all that time in Dib Street, or you never moved away?
No, I'd lived all that time. The only thing when we went away was when we went on holidays.
But you never had any occasion to move anywhere else?
No.
But now the two of you live together, I think possibly for company, or you must get along quite well, do you, for sisters?
Well, it doesn't... I don't think I'd like to live alone now. I've done all those years alone because my two daughters were married. And then Lily found the two... large the yard because her place was number 6 and number 8, and she found the yard was getting too much for her, so I was here on my own, so she decided to come over.
So I'm sorry, how long did you say you've been over here now, Lily?
5 years, I think, isn't it, Ruth? 5 years.
In December.
I moved in about November, didn't I? Late October or beginning of November.
December.
December, was it?
Yeah. 14th of December.
So, I've talked to you, Ruth, on another occasion just about what you remember about horses in this area. I haven't actually talked to you, Lily. But before we started recording, Ruth, you said, oh, well, Lily may not remember very much because she didn't go out very much. Is that right?
Well, I did play. I went to school. I started school before Ruth. And I naturally, when I played, I come home. My mother often had some message for us to do, and I'd go do some messages around the places because we had little shops all the time around here. And yeah. I was one that played school or played hopscotch or things like that, and we could draw hopscotch inside because we had number 6 and number 8, and 6 was mainly all garden. Just a brick part where you could draw a hopscotch or have skippings on it. And I used to like that. Or with a rope, you know, I'd skip on my own.
Your childhoods must have been, I suppose, quite a bit different to the childhoods that kids have today. Would you say that, or...?
Oh, naturally, I think because we were only about 5 minutes from the school, it wasn't very far. And we could leave home just before 9 o'clock and be round there. Five to nine, we'd be round there by nine. And then we played at the school till they took us in at 9:30. And I went through Alexandria School till 6th class. And after that, I went up to Newtown to do the commercial course for 2 years. And then the last year, they sent me up to Burwood, which I... couldn't say I really enjoyed.
That was the final year of school,
was
it?
Yeah, that was the final year.
What about you, Ruth? Did you go to school in Alexandria?
Yeah, but I hated school.
Did you?
She was the opposite.
I was the opposite. My mother used to have a woman used to come over Tuesday for washing day, and I used to hide under the tubs. I never wanted to go to school because I used to want to talk to Mrs. Childs.
I suppose they made you go to school most of the time, did they?
I had to go. I didn't go till I was seven. You needn't go till you were seven in those days. And, of course, my mother kept me home as long as she could.
Why? Because she just wanted to...
Well, I suppose I was the youngest and I didn't want to leave home.
There were... You had other siblings, didn't you? Other sisters?
Yeah, Jean... She's 6 years older than me, and Alice, she was 8 years older than me. They went to the proper time. I was the last.
So Jean, I think, is still with us, is that right?
Yes, she's out at Elwood.
So she's, did you say 90...
93.
In the 25th of January next year, she'll be 93.
And what about Alice? Is she still with us?
Ella.
No.
Ella, was it?
Ella. Her name is Barbara Ellen. We used to call her Ella. She died at 55
of cancer. So that must have... Where was she in the family? She was
the
oldest.
She's the eldest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was the oldest. Oh, I mm-hmm. see. Mm. Okay, so Ruth...
She taught us a lot. Like
did she?
Being the eldest, knitting and crocheting and everything like that.
Did she?
She taught us everything.
Well, she was very clever. She played the piano and did things like that, you know. She was sewing, she'd make clothes and seemed to do a bit of everything, you know, that she wanted to tackle, she could do.
Did she fill in a bit for your mother with that kind of thing?
Yes, well, Ella and I was at home after Jean. Jean married just a few months after my father died because he was at... Well, they were holding out, hoping he'd get better so that he'd be at the wedding.
And he died when he was
55. And Jean, that was on the 13th of May, and Jean married on the 9th of September. They just had the wedding more quietly at St Paul's, and then at the Sydney City Mission they held the reception. And that was just a few months after Dad died.
And... Your father, I think you've told me, was a missionary, wasn't he?
That's
with the
right.
Sydney City Mission.
Sydney City Mission.
Can you tell me a little bit about what kind of work he did?
Yes, they started at 9 o'clock, and from 9 till 10 they had to be in their mission hall so that anybody that came to the door was attended to, whether they wanted clothes or whether they needed money or something like that or spiritual help. And then they used to go around visiting for so many hours around the district. People were, more or less women, were mainly home in those days. And they'd go around to homes and invite people to come to the hall if they would like to come. And then he'd go back to the mission hall. And there was about 2 or 3 nights he'd be out every week. Sunday night there was always a service after the Sunday school in the afternoon. Then Monday night he had all the children in. They used to call it the Band of Hope, where they had slides. They weren't movies in those days, they were slides. And they used to tell them stories, or he taught them causes. And then Wednesday night, Tuesday night he could be home. Wednesday night they had a prayer meeting. Thursday night he could be home if somebody didn't invite him out. And Friday night he was often taken out with other people that they wanted him to, because he played a concertina and he could sing and he was an all-rounder as a preacher and everything.
And what about your mother, Ruth? Was she...
She helped me father.
She helped him in his work, did she?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I see. What did she do? How did she help him?
Oh, well, whatever was on, she used to go and... You know, they used to have afternoon tea of a Mother's Day.
Oh, yes, I forgot
Monday
about Mother's
afternoon.
Day.
Mum used to go and make the tea and send it round, you know, with the biscuits. It was arrowroot biscuits in those days. And if there was a jumble sale or anything, she'd go down and help him with that.
They had to sort out all the clothes, because people used to donate the clothes in to be given out, or you could sell them reasonably. And Mum would go down and sort them all out and get them all ready so that they'd be put out on
the
tables. And
the money they got from that used to go in, like if anybody needed groceries or things like that. they used to get the clothes for nothing, but if there was any sold, they used to put the money in where the kid, they'd give the money for groceries or bread or milk, whatever they wanted.
Did your kids ever go along with
them? Oh, yes. As soon as school finished of a Monday, I'd be up to Erskineville to get the tram that took me straight down around. I got out in just near Mar Street for the night service, Van der Hoek with all the kids, you know, and we had a good time with them and watching the slides ourselves, you know. And then Wednesday, we'd go down again. Wednesday night, we'd be there. We didn't go down Friday. Dad often went out with other people. They used to call and pick him up by car. Occasionally they took me because I used to sing.
Saturday was his visiting day.
Yeah, and Saturday was his day that he's supposed to have off. You know, they're not supposed to. Well, often he took us to the gardens and things like that of a Saturday. And then we always had a whole table full of people of Saturday night came to for tea, and then after tea we went into the lounge and...
You never knew who he was going to bring home next.
No. And then we went into the lounge and was singing for the next couple of hours before we went to bed.
Sounds nice. Mm-hmm. So, Ruth, just back to the horses and what we talked a bit about the other day, you had quite strong memories of horses around the Alexandria area. Which are the ones that really stand out for you?
Oh, well, the fruiters. There was Mr. Ford. He would have a basket and bring it to the door and you'd pick what fruit you wanted and then he'd bring it into you. And then there was an old chap called Mr. Gurney and he had this draft horses pull his, and he used to say to the kiddies, "Now mind the wheel angel, mind the wheel angel." And they used to run in and get an empty bottle and he'd give them fruit for their bottles. But
For their bottles?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Well, say I got into trouble once because I emptied a tomato sauce bottle out so I could get some fruit, and my mother never dealt off Gurney, she dealt off Mr. Jones, see?
You mean he gave you fruit in exchange?
Yes, he just handed up the bottle.
He collected the bottles.
He gave us some mandarins or small apples.
They must have paid dividend because he had a family of five or six children and he bought them each a house round here.
Well, they must have done pretty well.
And they had a shop also beside him coming round. They had a fruit shop down there. It's a playground now
in
Renwick Street. They pulled it down. That's still down there, a playground.
So there was more than one fruiterer.
Oh, yeah. There
were a lot of them.
There were three altogether.
And then there was a fish fellow came around.
Oh, no,
fish.
That was Mr. O'Connor. He rabbits of Wednesday, and he used to skin them there. They used to even have their hair on them, you know.
They were dead, presumably.
They were dead. But
he would have got them from somewhere else.
Yeah, but they weren't skinned. He used to skin them. And I suppose he sold the skins. But
I wonder if maybe keeping the skins on them kept them a bit fresher for a bit longer.
I suppose it did, because Mama used to bake them and they were nice rabbits, weren't they?
Yeah, she used to get two rabbits.
So he was called the Rabbit-O then?
Yeah, that's right.
He used to sing out Rabbit-O. And then Friday, he come round with fish, because most people ate fish of a Friday.
Because that's what the Catholic
tradition.
So he come round twice.
Twice on a Friday?
No.
Oh, twice a week.
A week.
Can you remember how he kept the fish or the rabbits cool?
Well, I don't know about the rabbits, but the fish, he used to have a wooden box thing on his wagon, and he had ice.
To keep
there used to be an ice works up there where the TNT building, where the RSL is now, and the TNT building, there was an ice factory, and they used to get the ice from there, and he used to have the fish on this ice. Mm-hmm. He used to have it very clean and had a lid on it. wooden casket that he used to keep the fish fresh.
And what about the horses themselves who were pulling the carts? Can you remember anything in
particular? Oh, yes,
only that they were draft horses.
Mm. They were all draft horses?
They were draft horses.
And when they let their manure, we used to go out and pick it up and take it back to home we put it on the garden.
That was a popular activity, wasn't it?
We went out and collected it and put it on the garden.
Now, I think you mentioned a few others too the other day.
Mr. Wright.
Who was he?
He had the sulky.
Oh, yes. So what was the story with him?
He lived next door. He had a sulky. And he used to sometimes take the horse out of the sulky and give us a ride on the horses. Lily got on it once.
I never went back on it.
What happened?
I fell off. I was that far from the ground.
You fell off?
No, I didn't fall off. But I was glad when he stopped it, I was able to get down off it.
Did he have a saddle on the horse when
yes, I think there was a saddle on it, there was a saddle up for where you sat down on it. But it was just the horse and me I didn't feel I wanted to be up on the horse.
Oh, and as far as the fruit goes, there was Horace. He was the last one.
Yeah, he came round with the horse.
He came round and his mother had a fruit shop on Mitchell Road. And he used to go to the markets and get the vegetables and fruit for him. And his mother used to serve it in the shop, Auntie. We used to call her Auntie Nell.
And he'd also bring the fruit around on the cart.
Horace was the last one to come in every Friday afternoon. He'd bring me a box of fruit. I used to do part-time work to pay for this place I'm in now. And Horace used to have me a box of fruit.
So this was long after you were married then?
Yes. Horace was the only one going then.
Mm. He was the last of
he
them?
He was the last of the...
Of the men with the horse and cart.
He used to get us to give the horse a carrot, but we had to have our hands perfectly straight so they wouldn't nip you.
Oh, I see. So they could just take it off your hand as long as your hand was flat. Did they have anything else apart from carrots?
Oh, well, that's all he used to give us.
So it was just a little friendly thing to do with the kids?
Oh, well, then if he thought the horse wouldn't keep still, he'd put the feed bag on.
Oh, and that kept them still, did it?
It was a hessian bag with the hay and that in it.
Another thing, the bread used to be delivered every day. A breadman would come in with the bread.
They had horses too.
They had horses too. Where they delivered the bread. You got nice fresh bread every day.
And milk.
Milk.
And the milk.
But I don't remember the milkman, whether he had a horse. I know later on his was more he had a van that he could pour the milk. We used to leave our buckets,
billy can
out on the veranda, on the windowsill. And he'd come in and take the billy can, fill it with milk and then bring it back up and leave it on your windowsill. And then he came round and collected the money once a week.
Yes, I like it when Arthur came, because he used to give me threepence.
Was he, this the milko?
The milko. I didn't like it when Jock came, because Jock wouldn't have a clue. But Arthur...
Did Jock replace Arthur sometimes?
Oh, sometimes he'd come in. But mainly I used to like Arthur coming in, because I always got threepence off Arthur.
And... Did you have a way of keeping things cold after you
yes,
bought
the ice chest?
Yeah, the ice chest.
You had an ice chest. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't hold very much, would it?
Well, you more or less went out and did more shopping daily as you needed the things. There were so many shops around. There was a shop just over there. There was a shop in Jib Street. There was one in Alexander Street. There was
a couple of Jennings
Street.
There
was a couple on the top of, just as you turned the corner at Henderson Road. And then they'd be over in Mitchell Road. There were shops everywhere.
So even though you were also getting stuff delivered to your door quite a lot...
We still went out for groceries and things, although there was one grocery shop that used to deliver. He was up in Henderson Road. You took the order up and they would deliver it. But I can't remember...
That was Arnold's.
Yeah, I can't remember whether they had a horse or cart to deliver it. Or they just had one of the men used to carry it down in the basket.
No, the one that came in the basket was from South.
Yeah, I remember him with the basket.
He had a basket, took your message, may come up, get your message order and bring it back in the basket.
So what about stables and things like that? Were there, did people keep horses around here very much?
No, the only one was where they even call it the horseshoe. There was one, yeah. And that was at the back of where those flats are today, on the corner of Dibb Street and Jennings Street. There was only one horse kept there.
And why is
other than that, they were down the other side of Alexandria, down near Canal, near the canal.
Oh, I see. There were stables there.
Yeah, there were stables there. Mm. We only ever had the one.
So the one that you said is, I think it's called Horseshoe now, is it?
Yeah, they call it the Horseshoe Flats. Oh. I don't know whether that is. I don't think it. I haven't been to look to see if it's written up there. But I was told it was the Horseshoe Flats.
And you think it might be named after the stables that was there?
Well, most likely.
Mm. Oh, there's been a lot of change of people coming and going, though, at those units. They probably wouldn't remember now, would they? Mm. That was the first units that was built around here, wasn't it, Ruth?
Yeah.
There wasn't any units, it was all houses.
And what about blacksmiths and farriers and so on?
Well, the farrier, he was up on Henderson Road. All you know what Henderson Road's turned into now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a little bit further down than that Alexandria Hotel. That's where the farrier was.
Did you ever go in and have a look at that?
Only passing by.
What did you see?
All the making the horseshoes.
This must have been quite interesting.
And you should hear them, you know. And they had fire, they'd have like a flame, wouldn't they? Where they heated the thing.
Then some days we'd take ourselves a walk down to St Peter's and see the brick pits. That's where Sydney Park is now. And they used to bring up the clay from the bottom up to the top. We used to watch them do that.
And then there was a marble place. It was in, what street was the marble place?
Lowen Street.
And we'd go over and get chips of marbles that we could play our hopscotch with.
Oh, for the tours.
Yeah.
They'd be nice to use. That'd be easy.
We had plenty to do. We always were skipping or playing or marbles. We got the marbles. Our lane didn't have the cement along it then. It was earth. And we used to play earth out in the along there, make the holes in the earth where we played the marbles.
Hmm. What about racing? Were there any people who were involved in horse racing around here?
No, only SP Bookmaker, that's all.
Oh, yeah, there was an SP, it was in Renwick Street. He used to just take the bets, but we weren't interested in that.
No, I don't imagine your family would have had an interest in betting or horse racing.
No, that's the only fun, there was the SP Bookmaker.
Mm. So, can you remember at all when when horses started to disappear? Like, did it make much impression on you?
Oh, another thing, we used to get the horses. When we were going away on holidays, you used to call for...
Oh, the hams and cabs.
Hams and cabs. And they took the luggage up somewhere at the back and you were put in and took it to the railway.
We had a great big case that Mama had and Dad could only fit himself and the case in it, and we used to go by tram home, and he used to get this big case and the hansom cab to bring him home.
How did we get down? I can remember riding in the hansom cab to go to the station.
I don't know how we got there.
We got there.
Must have got there by tram, Lil. But I know Dad used to take the hansom cab home, and we used to walk over and get the tram. Of course, we had different trams, you know. There was one tram that used to go along Henderson Road and finish up there near Erskineville. That was a Henderson Road tram. Then there was a Mitchell Road Alexandria tram, and it went to St Peter's. So we had two trams. Now we've got nothing.
Our tram system is shocking.
Mm.
And now 10 minutes of a day, ordinary day, and of a Sunday, an hour and a half.
Between buses?
Buses. And the last bus leaves town of a Sunday just after 3:25 p.m.
So how can you go anywhere?
Mm. So when you were young, the trams were really regular, weren't they?
You walked up to Erskineville Station, well, there was the Erskineville tram, and that used to take you down.
That's where we went down to Maastricht.
Darlington and Maastricht used to go down, they used to have a tram there, so you really had three trams.
So you could get around anywhere. That's what you used for your trams.
And it was only twopence to the railway.
Twopence
right down to the quay.
Yeah.
And a penny for children.
If you went up to just where the post office is, at the corner there, Mitchell, see, one tram came up 10 minutes difference to the other. So it meant there was trams running every 20 minutes, but if you went up there, you got one every 10 minutes, if you walked as far as the post office. Mm. Now we can't get them once an hour.
Henderson Road used to have all two-storey houses built. They pulled them all down for the good yards. And now they've got them into, what's it, Technology Park?
Yeah. Oh, there was shops, houses, and then there was a few shops. We had a chemist shop, and there was
a paper shop.
And a boot maker, and there was a greengrocer, where later I used to get off and Mum used to go round and put the order in. He'd make it up, and as I came out of home from work, I'd get off the bus there at Henderson Road and just go over and pick up the fruit and vegetables and take them home.
That was just a stop.
Because Mum wasn't pulling the car. She took it round empty, but she didn't pull it home. I used to get off the bus and pull it home.
You just made your own fun and done as you was told. You never contradicted anything, did you?
Do you remember when cars first became a bit of a presence in the streets around here?
Yes, cars. There's only one, two had cars first. That was Wright's the plumber and
Ellis's.
Yeah, and Ellis's. And they were, he was on the railway and he became mayor of Alexandria for a while. And then didn't, what about Elsa's father?
Yeah, well, he got one years later.
Yeah, he got one. That was about three cars were around the streets, that's all
we saw. So this is when you were actually kids?
Yeah.
But as you got older, there must have been more and more.
Oh, well, there started to come a few more as we got older.
Can't remember.
My father wouldn't have a car.
Why is that?
Well, he always said he was frightened he'd kind of injure somebody. And yet he was an engineer to trade.
Mm.
And yet he went out in other people's cars, but never had a car himself, and yet he was offered cars.
Oh, that was Dalwood with his Essex.
Yeah, and people had offered my father, they knew how much he walked, they offered him cars instead. No.
And he never changed his mind?
No, he never changed his mind. If they wanted him, they had to come and pick him up.
Well, that probably worked quite well if there was somebody
which they did. They picked him up all right.
So you talk a lot about how you made your own fun and all that kind of thing when you were young. I wonder if there's more things like that you'd like to talk about, what you remember about your early years here in Alexandria.
Well, when we came home from school, before I went to high school and had homework, we used to just do it. If I'm gone into my mother, and then if she wanted a message, the first thing we did. Then when we come home, we were free then, till she called us for tea, the hot meal, you know. And I mean, we just went out and either played with the children in the lane, or they came into our place to play, because we had the ground there. And school holidays, the kiddies were always in our place, because we had the whole nearly block of land, except the laundry and bathroom was on, and another room, which we had as a playroom. So there was no need to be in anybody else's place. We had a big garden, and we weren't under my mother's feet. We were right away from her, and we used to play houses, we'd have tables and chairs and go and buy lollies that we'd cut up as if, well, there was one lolly had brown, white and pink. We'd cut it up and we'd
put meat.
The meat was a brown, the white was a potato and the pink was the vegetable. So in our minds it was. And if somebody would go up and set their house up under the tree, we had two large trees. One,
we had a swing on one.
And then we'd go around and visit, what a kid, we were visiting one another with our little prams and dolls in the pram.
And Ella, the elder sister, she used to always make a hospital.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She used to get, Mum would give her a sheet and she'd cut the sheet up and she'd put a red cross
on it.
I don't know where she got the red material from, but she used to sew a red cross on the cots for the dolls. The dolls was in the hospital.
And we had them in the, well, we called it the little room, but it was a fair-sized room, wasn't it, Ruth? But that was just our name, the little room. And then the laundry and bathroom was on that block of land, and the other was all house. But, it remained that way, didn't it, until we were put out. If my father found somebody that needed a bed, all our toys went into the laundry.
And he was given that room till he found something.
Yeah.
So you would have seen a lot of different kinds of people through your house then?
Yes.
What sort of people might your father bring home?
Well, some of them needed help to find work, others...
Some were doctors, some were dentists during depression, they couldn't get anything. Well-educated people.
And then there was Mrs. Green came down from YE and she stayed a while, didn't she?
Yeah.
What was the situation with her?
Oh, she just wanted a break, I think, from YE. And of course we went up to YE, Beth Shan, nearly once a year, about in the May holidays, didn't we? School holidays in May. We either went to Beth Shan in YE or we went up the mountains.
I'm sorry, where in YE?
YE, Beth Shan it was called.
Still
was
there.
Yes, what is it? It's a little...
It's a like place where you could go up and they had the rooms.
Like a guest house.
That's right. And you had candles. We used to have to light candles for thing. And then our holidays in November, wasn't it? Between October or November.
It was Ostomy.
We always went to a beach, Ostomy in Newton mainly. It was a lady at Ostomy. Used to let us have what they call the campsite. We used to go down as well and just swim.
You used to cook on primuses.
Yeah, Mum was good at the primus.
Was she?
Mm.
And you all helped her, I suppose.
We used to go down to the water.
Oh, she just sat around. My mother wasn't a swimmer. She wouldn't go in the water.
And we always got a penny ice cream.
Yeah, but we got an ice cream. We went in, there was a shop there, and we always got on the beach, and we always went and got an ice cream. She had a bigger one than us.
What about wartime around here? What was that like?
Oh, well, we had a bar up all our windows. We got all wood made up to cover the windows so that when you were in over at night, there was no...
They kept a lot from us, you know.
No light showing, you know. And
you wasn't told about the different ones that lost their life up in Darwin. That was kept secret. That was nothing in the papers. A woman next door, her son was one of them, and she told me she was the first woman to ever get a pension for a person that was... a civilian, her son.
The father died that year in the May, so Dad didn't...
And war broke out in the September.
Yeah, and my uncle went away. He put his age back to go away. That was my father's brother. And then when he came back, he stayed with us for a while.
So you didn't lose anybody directly in your family because you were all girls?
That's right, we were girls.
My father said to me, Mother, when we were all girls, he said, well, you'll be glad one day, Kate, you got all girls. And he didn't live to see it, but he was, because I was 18. And Ella would have been 26, would have been, the whole four of us would have gone.
I was 21 when the war broke out. So we were fortunate that way, but I was working in an office in town, and people might remember it, Murdoch's. It was on the corner of Park and George Street, and we used to, two nights a week, we worked back because we were short of staff, and then either one or two nights a week we used to go over to what we call the Department of Interior and had the mesh nets which they used to put up in New Guinea, and we used to weave the canvas through these nets, and a man used to come around and turn it over because it was too heavy for us, you know. But they used to give us a sandwich or a small meal when we went over there first, and then we worked there to about 9 o'clock at night.
And what were the nets used for? Did they go back to New
Guinea? Camouflage.
For camouflage. Right. Mm. Yeah. So did you do any work like that, Ruth?
Yeah, I worked in a printing place, and we used to do the, they used to do the boxes and all the things for the bullets.
Containers that they held the bullets in.
We used to do the containers. Mm. We weren't allowed to go anywhere else. It was a protected industry. But I used to get up theatre parties, and we used to, the money we made from that, we used to buy the fruitcakes and send them overseas to the boys. One of the neighbours, she put a note in hers, and she ended up marrying the chap. That was Janie.
Yeah, Janie Blundell.
What did she say on the note?
I don't know. She just gave a name and address.
And so this bloke
contacted her.
He wrote back to her, and then when he came back to Sydney, he contacted her, and just from that, he only died last year, Len Emery.
You must have seen a lot of families come and go here.
Oh, yes. Well, a lot of the elderly people, they were here till they died.
Mm.
They were all here till they died, more or less. And one of the family has carried on in quite a few places. There's been one of the family carried on.
There's Valerie Hampshire's in her mother's place. Mm. Robert Miller's in there. We're in here.
I was in Dib Street.
Paddy Blundell's in her mother's place. Elsa Collett's in her mother's place. Vincey Ireland's in his mother's place.
And the girl...
these are still alive.
So it's still the sort of continuous presence of the family.
Where Margie and them live next door to... where Stanley String is now.
The Foxes.
The Foxes. So it was always one girl kept hold, it stayed there.
Eileen.
Yeah. And the Noreen was the last one.
Noreen's the last one.
Yeah, but she married Stanley String. Well, she's passed away now, but Stanley's still there.
He's still got it.
But he was an Alexandria boy anyway.
Yeah, he lived in the second end house in Sutter Street.
There was quite a few marriages between the two streets, too, just quietly.
Well, that stands to reason, I suppose.
Yeah, well, Phyllis married Henry. I married Roy. Roy lived in 47.
And there's Matty Bernard, married someone down the bottom at the other end of Sutter Street. And there was that girl that lived, remember, she was, I think, the second last house or the last house here, and she married the boy that was over there on the other side of Sutter Street. She was fair-headed. Can't think of a
Kay.
Name.
Kay.
No, she was, I forget what they were. They were in one of those houses just down here. And she lived down at the bottom there, fair girl.
Well, the only fair girl I know is Kay.
No, I can't think of a name.
Well, what about, somebody told me in one interview that I did that there are a few horses that had been sort of retired a bit before the war actually came back into service when the war was on because there was a shortage of materials and vehicles and so on. Can you remember if there was any difference in the number of horses around the streets when...
Not here.
Didn't make any impact.
No, they might have been on the other side of Alexandria, but not this side.
Mm. really, it may not have even been in this area at all for all I know, but I just wondered whether it might have been.
Because Horace didn't keep his horse on that, did he?
No, he kept his horse down there.
Yeah, that's right, and the trapper next door had passed away, so there was no horse there. Me Ellis has always had a car, and the Wrights always had a car because he's a plumber.
We used to say to Stella, the Wrights, is funny, what kind of garden have you got, Stella? She used to say, oh, we grow pipes, because her father was a plumber.
That's cute, isn't it?
All the children were friendly, though. We had trouble that way. They were all friendly. We'd get out and play cricket out in the lane, too. That was another thing they did, the children mixed with each other. We didn't have cricket inside our place, but they played out in the lane, didn't they?
Yeah.
Bruce's husband used to go out and bowl.
Fruit box for your wicket.
Can you remember any of the horses' names that were pulling the carts? Did you ever get to know them in any way?
No.
No. I just thought one or two of them.
No, I wouldn't have a clue what they called them.
So, are there any other things along that line that you can remember now, or do you think you've...
No, just it became more cars around the area. And the people that came, and a lot of the men that came round with the...
Lionel Hanks, he got the first Holden that come out, didn't he?
They were all friendly neighbours because we didn't have a phone for a long while, and Ellis just used to take all the messages for Dad, or Dad would go over there and ring up, things like that. There was only two or three that had a phone on.
And what about television?
Oh, television didn't come till well after my father died.
Yes.
Because Ella was the first one that went up and got a...
Oh, Margaret next door got it.
Did she?
All the kids in the lane. My two, Rhonda and Bev, and Margie's four boys, all we packed into Margaret's small lounge next door. And so Ella went over and seen it, and she rang him up and got the same set put in your place, you know, the...
Yeah, it was a nice thing.
Yeah, the maroon one.
Mm.
And I said to Roy, if you get this room finished, we'll get one. And he soon woke up and got it finished, and we got one.
One what?
Black and white.
Oh, the TV.
The television. They were all black and white in those days.
Oh, they were, yeah. It was exciting to have one, though, wasn't it, for the first time?
Oh, yeah, the kiddies used to like the Mickey Mouse show. And you don't get the decent comedy on them now, do you?
The only thing I think TV has spoilt a lot of children's playing. They go home and they watch TV. Or now computers have come in, they're on the computer, things like that. You see, they don't have the... They don't play like we played. And the same in the school. You didn't see them playing hopscotch or skippings in the schools
Don't add up anything. They've got a ready reckoner in their hand.
Calculator.
And that.
That's right. Well, we had to do it all by hand. Even when I worked in that office, everything you added up or everything you did it yourself, you never had a calculator with you.
So did you do office work all your life?
Yes, practically. I suppose all my life till I retired.
When was that?
I started...
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
That's all right. 1917, it was 60, would have been 77, so it must have been 76, mustn't it? I must have retired.
So you worked until you were 60 or so?
Yeah, I worked till I was 59. And then the doctor said my mother shouldn't have been left alone any longer. And so I gave up.
And you took care of your mother?
I did do part-time work just for a few years too. I dropped the full-time work, did part-time work for a few years. And the last place I was working was just up in family planning in Waterloo.
Oh, yes.
And...
What did you do there?
I did bookkeeping and typing and wages. And we heard around, you know, how it gets around the office, that one staff had to go. And so I went in to Mr. Smith and I just said, oh, here you're going to reduce your staff. And I said, the doctor's told me my mother shouldn't live alone any longer. So I said, I'm willing to go. And he said, oh no, you're not the one that we've picked to go. I said, but I could stay on for a few months maybe and then come in and tell you. I've just got to go. So I said, what's the use of not letting me go now? You won't have that worry. So that's what I did.
Hmm. And what about you, Ruth? You worked, you had a family, but you also worked part-time, I think.
Yeah, I went over to the printing trade again over in... I only worked from 9 to 3 because we could live on Roy's money, but we needed the money to do the place up. They hadn't done anything to them since they were built.
Mm.
Nothing like, there was no like big cracks or nothing. It was just that it was never...
Need a good scrub down and paint.
Dark green calcimine.
Mm.
And in the bedrooms, pink calcimine.
So what year did you move into this house?
Oh, Rhonda was about 18 months old. No. Rhonda was about 2 because I had to wait till she was 3 so I could go part-time. I put her in the Sunburn Kindergarten from 9 to 3. Rhonda's 56.
So that would have been 53 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're talking about around about
1957, wasn't it? When was Rhonda born?
51.
About 1954. Mm. You moved into this house in about 1954. And when would it have been built, do you think?
Well, it's 100-year-old now.
This year, or...?
Well, I got a letter.
Uh-huh.
And it was 100 years, so it could be about 101, 102.
Okay.
But I painted all this myself on paper, or papered every bit myself.
Oh, it looks beautiful. You've got a beautiful ceiling.
Well, they're all Wonderlic ceilings.
Yeah, pressed metal.
Pressed metal right through the house. It's all Wonderlic ceilings.
Very attractive.
And I wallpapered this after I come out, after having my knee operation. I was 73.
And you wallpapered it?
And I wallpapered it.
It looks really nice. It looks completely professional.
Mm.
Yeah, what's the name?
No, I never tackled anything like that. I did paint, but I never tackled
it. It was a self-paste that, you pulled it through the water.
I never tackle paper.
That was the last I papered, and I couldn't do it now.
It's holding up very well, though. There's no need to do it, is there?
Wallpaper can last anything from 20 to 40 years.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you wanted to mention today?
I was 60 when I went down to the centre.
Oh, you're talking about the local community centre?
Yeah.
That's run by the City of Sydney, the council now.
Now it is. It used to be under
I took an active part down there.
So you've been pretty busy with that, haven't you? What do you mean?
And then, well, once I had my knee done and younger ones come, I just said, let the young ones do it, you know.
So when you say you took an active part there, what do you mean?
Oh, well, I helped them run the picnics. We used to... Some centres used to go to a club. Well, I thought it'd be nice to take the elderly people out on a picnic. So our buses was picnic buses. So we used to take, for a couple of dollars, we used to buy sausages and onions and bacon and tomato and that, and we used to have a barbecue dinner up at Warragamba Dam.
That sounds great.
And different things. And as I've got older, all the young ones are doing it now.
What was that place we went down further south?
The coaches was cheap in those days. And every pension day, I'd go and get 5 shillings off them.
To pay for the coach?
To pay for the coach. And we went down to Eden.
Is what I was thinking of, a council coach. Bus took us down.
Oh, Cordo Dam.
No, no. Yeah, I'm not thinking of a dam. It was where we could go and have a swim.
Shell Harbour.
That was it, yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's down. Is that down near Nowra?
Yeah.
And so you do you go to the centre, Lily?
Yeah, I started before Ruth. When I come home, I was...
I belonged to it, but I didn't go to it. The old lady next door put me in, but I never went because I couldn't. I was doing my work at home.
Mm.
But when I'd left work, Mrs. White knew Mum because Mum had used to just go round with another neighbour. Not that she went round for any meals there, but she went with another neighbour to watch them when they were playing bowls or things like that. Flo used to take her. And when I came home, Mrs. White came round to visit Mum, and she said to me, "What are you doing, Lily?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just about to give Mum a lunch." And she said, "What about yours?" I said, "I'll make mine in a few minutes." She said, "No need to do that. Why don't you come up the centre? You get your hot meal up there." So I used to go. She said, "I'll be away half an hour." So I started up there, but there used to be about 60 people in those days, and what they did, they didn't let them, as they do now, they line up at the counter to get their meals. There was about four of us used to carry all the meals out. We used to find out, there was always more than one thing on. There was two, and you told them what was on, and you knew what they wanted. You went back to the counter and said, "Say you want one of this or two of that," and you took them out and carried them.
So you didn't just go there and eat your meal?
No, I went round to help carry them out. And then after that I did their book work for them. The social worker, one of the social workers, she hated figure work. And so she palmed all the book work over to me.
I used to do all the trips, and then we used to have a bazaar once a year.
Yeah, Ruth worked for
and
that.
I used to sew a lot of different things.
Oh, very nice.
Take down, you know. I worked harder down that centre than what I did at work.
And what about, we've got a federal election coming up pretty soon. Do you take much interest in any of that?
Yes, I know who I hope would get in.
Well, you don't have to tell me if you don't want
to. I don't care. What I mean to say, I think, you know, Howard's done a marvellous job for the pensioners. We've had 1,000 here and 500 there and what's her name? I don't like the idea of the unions running Australia.
So you're pretty fixed. You know where you're going to go and where you're going to vote.
I know where I'm voting.
And you know the same. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't want unions running the country.
Yep. Oh, well.
And then jobs for the boys.
Well, see, I've gone
jobs for the boys are sent New Zealand, New South Wales broke.
After Dad died, I started going to Wesley Mission too, so I've done a lot of voluntary work with them.
Oh, have you?
And I know just what is needed, you know, that way.
So and you feel as though we're happy with what the government's done in that direction?
Mm. Well, they've pulled us out. Well, now there's plenty of money, they'll get in and spend it all.
Well, I know.
Leave another debt, I suppose.
When there was so much unemployment.
I can't understand people. I can't understand. No, they're bad managers.
Howard called Gordon Moyes from Wesley Mission. He took the Salvation Army and he took Mission Australia. The chap that was running Mission Australia. He had them all up there in Canberra and they took over a lot of the unemployment, which was supposed to be in the hands of the employment agency. And jobs just seemed to come in no time. They were putting people in work. Yeah. Unemployment went down, right down to what it used to be. But when the Mission, and Wesley Mission, the church got hold of it, I mean, the Salvation Army, they were the ones that started getting the people employed first.
So you think that's all worked out really well, that scheme?
Oh, of course it has. Mm. It's made a big difference. Mm. Made a very big difference.
Oh, Gordon Moisture's a very brainy chap. He's gone into Parliament.
Yes, he's retired, of course. But I still get a Christmas card from him.
Oh, that's nice. Well, we might finish up there. That was terrific. Yeah. Thanks very much.